Okay, so what's your background like? How'd you get into this kind of thing?
Excellent question. I went to the University of North Carolina at undergraduate school, worked in Washington for a couple of years. After that, as a scout executive, went to seminary in Richmond, Virginia, and did a master's degree in divinity. Thought I was going to be a parish pastor for my whole career. I worked in parish ministry in South Carolina for 7 years, and then was recruited by the state police to be the program manager for this new program, which was coming online under a Victims of Crime Act grant. And that was, as I said, 20 years ago. As I was wrapping up my parish ministry career, I did do a Doctor of Ministry, which is a professional degree at a seminary in Chicago. But most of my work was in academic work was in preparation for very traditional forms of ministry. So I've had to expand and change and train and retool. And I'm now a trainer in 9 courses in the Critical Incident Stress Management Program. And I'm also currently early on in an additional master's degree in mental health counseling. So that's all going on at the same time.
So with that long background and all the different programs you've done, what's it like actually counseling somebody that's been through something tragic or something, you know?
Well, I would say that it is, this area of chaplaincy work or pastoral care is very different than parish ministry. And your listeners may catch that distinction immediately, but it's not unusual in this realm, in the law enforcement assistance program, to be talking with officers about critical incidents, about the impact of being in a shooting, of taking someone's life, of thinking they were going to die, of watching someone die right in front of them, of dealing with the suicide of a partner, dealing with the impact of their deployment to the war zone and coming back to the road as a trooper or a local police officer. So that's very different than parish ministry. So really what comes up in this office, in the life of SC LEAP and the staff members in our care of and support of officers, are things real specific to that world. It can be work related, it can be, you know, personal, it can be issues with depression, anxiety, issues with marriage and family, relationships, parenting, all those kind of things.
So I saw that you were involved in incidents like the Virginia Tech shooting as well as the Charleston shooting.
Right.
Can you just give me a basic overview? I don't know if you want to get into specific detail.
Sure.
But
no, and that's perfectly fine. We were involved in the Virginia Tech shooting. We were involved in Charleston immediately after it happened. And it's important to say we don't ever deploy ourselves, Joe. We only go to assist folks if they request us. So we're not going to show up out there. We're not going to show up in Blacksburg, Virginia on that cold spring night after the shooting, unless we had a direct request, which we did. The chief of Blacksburg Police Department made a request to the North Carolina Highway Patrol member assistance team and also to SC LEAP that we send peer team members immediately to the campus of Virginia Tech to primarily, as is consistent with our mission, to support the police agencies that were responded to that critical incident. When the shooting in Charleston happened, it happened, of course, on a Wednesday night at a Bible study. And Thursday, I got a call from an administrator in Charleston County that said, we've heard about your peer support for police officers. Can you come down here and talk with us about what you might offer to, in that case, not only police officers, but to the fire service, ambulance service, You think about who was showing up on that scene. Dispatchers were absolutely involved in that in a big way. The coroner's office. And also you had multiple crime scene people involved in that incident. So those were specifically the people we were involved with in the consistent with the SC LEAP mission.
So you're speaking as a, you're trying to help people, but through stressful events like this, but how do you deal with it personally after hearing all the gruesome details sometimes, I would assume?
Right. An excellent question. And when I present on this around our state and around in other parts of the country and tell the stories that come through the doors of SC LEAP, people say, that sounds pretty stressful. How do you manage that? And one of the things I would say is it's important that you learn it as much as you can about it. In my case, it's not so much direct exposure to the critical instance, but it's what Bessel van der Kolk said is secondary traumatic stress or compassion fatigue. And I think there are a lot of fields that are subject to that. But understand what that is and how it impacts the body. Understand the things that work for you in terms of stress management, in terms of keeping a balance between work and home, talking about it, absolutely having somebody to talk with about it that you're pretty sure understands what you do. I try and talk with my partners. I try and talk with the peer support team. I try and talk with my wife. And I would say in many ways my decision to enter into a master's program in mental health counseling was out of a desire to continue to learn about how do we manage stress and how do we help people do it, how do we do it ourselves. And it struck me over and over again in this training the importance in training to be a mental health counselor is going through counseling yourself to understand where your areas for growth are. There are a lot of other parts to that: stress management, exercise, health, seeing your doctor, making sure that you're having your checkups regularly. As a clergy person, as a religious professional, you know, there's some things I do that other people may not do. One is going to, there's a form of worship called a Taizé worship service, T-A-I-Z-E. And your last name is French, and this comes from a French Protestant and Catholic community coming together. And it's a beautiful form of worship. It's very meditative, just the reading of scripture and singing. That touches me in a deep way. My wife and I did something with our youngest daughter last summer. We decided to, after watching the movie The Way, if your listeners have never seen it, I hope they will. But it's a story about the Camino de Santiago in northern Spain. And it's an ancient Christian pilgrimage route across northern Spain. And we went and walked about 75 miles of that this summer. And I found that to be remarkably rejuvenating. And if you're working on your own resilience, for me, that was wonderful. It's not the same for everybody, and I think you have to find the, you have to intentionally and continuously work on the thing that helps you manage your stress. You know, a friend of mine said, honestly, we're like little children when it comes to managing our own stress. We're like, we do that in the same way a 5-year-old cleans up their room. You tell a 5-year-old to clean up their room and they take all that junk on the floor and they throw it under the bed and throw it in the closet and shut the door and say, yep, it's all done. We sometimes manage stress like that. We sort of pretend to manage it, or we give the facade of managing it.